God, I come. I come. Thank the Lord for that sweet prayer and for each of you. As we've mentioned that already tonight, it's just a blessing to see God's little children gather together. You're an encouragement to me tonight to see the different ones here. It just is a blessing to see you present your bodies. And you do that as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. That's not your work. That's the work of the Lord and what He has done for you. Under God, which is your reasonable service. And we just thank the Lord for the opportunity that we have to be able to meet like this. Just to get away from the world and the ideas and the thoughts of the world and focus our attention and our thoughts, as Brother Mike mentioned in his prayers, upon the Lord and upon the truth of His Word and what He has for us in His Word. I'm praying tonight the Lord would just guide me and direct me to where I need to be, and that I'd just be settled with what He would have me have to give to you, and that I might be able to leave here tonight with some peace and rest in my heart, knowing that we have once again been in His presence. And if we can feel His presence, you know, that's really all that we need tonight. Just to know that the Lord loves us and that He cares for us and that He is with us in this old troubled world. And if you have a friend like Jesus, boy, you've got all that you ever need. He is our everything. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture I've been looking at all weekend. And we're going to look at it again, once again tonight. It's found in the book of Colossians, writings of the Apostle Paul unto the church at Colossae. And it's chapter 2. Chapter 2 of the book of Colossians, we'll begin reading right at verse 1. We'll read down through verse 10. My thoughts tonight have kind of centered around verses 6 through 10, but we'll see how that goes. That's where it's been this afternoon. When I got home after the meeting at Union, I just felt so tired and weary, and I thought, well, I don't know how it's going to be tonight. You know, it's being able to speak, and, you know, your mind seems to be, even though I've had wonderful times in the meetings, just felt like there was an emptiness and a void, and I just didn't know where we were going to go. And then I sat down and started reading this passage again, and just like the Lord just enriched the study and enriched the thinking and just helped me so much. And it really helped my afternoon. Now, whether that comes into the stand tonight, I don't know how that's going to be. It may have been just what I needed for this afternoon, but I sure was glad and thankful to feel His presence for a little while this afternoon. To believe and know that He was with me. And I may not get to say any more than that, but it's been a good afternoon. And I'm still physically weary, but Lord, I believe. And help thou mine unbelief. I just want to trust in Him. He says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom," that is in Christ, "are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." And here he's writing to a body of believers who loved the Lord, who had been following the Lord, who had an understanding of the Lord, who believed in the Lord, who had been given a great blessing of knowing that there's a God in heaven who loved them enough that He sent His only begotten Son to die for them and pay the sin debt for them to secure their home in heaven and to also supply unto them as they walked here in time everything that they stood in need of. And these brethren knew that. They were, I believe, grounded in that. The scripture here says that their hearts might be comforted. He was concerned that they would be comforted and that they would be knit together in love. That's a love that God had for them, that was given unto them, that they might be able to love one another. And isn't it a wonderful thing to have that love here in this world, in your life? What has that meant to you in your life? First of all, to believe and to know and to understand that God loved me. If I love Him, it's because He first loved me. If I love the Lord, if you love the Lord at all today, it's because He first loved you. And His love for you began even before the foundation of the world. When He saw fit to foreknow you, He loved you, He chose you, He elected you, He chose to have you with Him in heaven and immortal glory, and He chose to do for you in time what you could not do and would not do for yourself. And He has done that for these ones at Colossae, and the Apostle Paul, seeing them, he had never seen them in person, but he had heard about them from, you read over earlier in the passage in chapter 1, Epaphras, if that's the correct name, E-P-A-P-H-R-A-S, I think. He had come and told the Apostle Paul about them, like one of the brethren might come and tell us about their church in Texas, or their church in West Virginia, or their church in some other part of the country. And you hear about them, and even though you've never met them or never seen them, you still have a love for them. And if you go visit them, and I've done that, and you maybe have never been there before, and you walk in and you sit down and you feel like, well, I'm right at home. We're singing the same songs. We're honoring the same God. We're hearing the same gospel preached. We're hearing the same truth that the Lord has blessed us to see. He's blessed them to see, and we have a tie that binds, as we sing that hymn, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts together. And that is that love that the Lord has given us and the love that He's shown to us, and our hearts are knit together. He says that our hearts being knit together in love, that means we are held together here in this assembly by love. Listen, if it wasn't the love of God that kept us together, there's enough meanness in us that we would be fighting and fussing and feuding. And that's true in a church. It's also true in a home. You know, you got to have the love of God rule in your home. Sometimes we think, well, I'll just love my husband enough so we won't have fights and feuds. Well, you can't do that on your own, can you? And he can love me enough. Well, that goes good as long as things are going pretty well. But once things go a little rough, and things do, then you got to have something bigger than that to hold your family together, to hold your home together, to hold the church together, to hold your own self together. Listen, there is a love that God has shown unto us that is the bond, the cement of perfectness. It means it'll hold your life together. It's like nails that'll keep the house from falling down. You know, and that's why tonight we want to hear about the love of God, and we want to sing about the love of God, and we want to declare the love of God, the love of God that causes us to want to keep His commandments. And I pray that the Lord just so fills us up with His love tonight that when we go out the door, we just want to live better and act better, be a better wife, be a better husband, be a better son, be a better daughter, be a better person. To live in this world, not to honor ourselves, but to honor the God of heaven who has done so much for us tonight. Has the Lord done anything for you? I believe every one of you say, oh, just give me a little time, I'll give you a list. And then when you get the list, you could write another list. And when you get that list done, you could write another list. And then you could write a list of all the things you really didn't know He did that He's been doing all along. God has been taking care of you as His little child from the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, when you were delivered into this world, and even up to this moment and this time, His eyes are upon His children, and yet there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Y'all believe that? It's the truth. I hope you believe it. It's the truth. Isn't it good to be able to declare that with boldness to God's little children? And He proved that love to you so much that Jesus 2,000 years ago came here into this world, and as rotten and as no good as we were and are and would continue to be if He'd have left us in that state, He came and did for us that which we could not do. He didn't try to do it. He came and did it. And He finished the work. And He ascended back to the Father. And there's an empty tomb because of that. And He's seated on the right hand of the Father so that our dear brother Bright could come tonight and pray and ask the Lord's blessing. And I believe God's ears heard that prayer. As He hears all of our prayers. The weak ones, the ones, and really isn't that all of them? You know, He takes our petitions and He carries them to the ear of the Father and He cleans them up. And those things that we fail to ask, He intercedes for us. Even the Scripture says with heart groanings. I don't know sometimes what to say to you. I don't even know what to ask for. Isn't it good though? You can pray anyway when you don't know what to say and what to ask for. You can just come and say, Lord, help me. And He'll hear your prayer and answer them. And He answers them not according to our will, because sometimes what I want is not what is good for me. But He'll answer them according to His will, and He always answers every time, on time, just the right way. And when we ask Him this, He doesn't allow us to have that. He loves us enough that He gives us just what we need. That's why when we come tonight, we don't want to look anywhere else. I don't want to preach anything else. I don't want to point you to anything else. I don't want to share anything with you that would take your attention and your focus, as Brother Mike said, away from the Lord Jesus Christ and away from the truth of His Word. You can count on the Lord and you can count on the Word of God, because it's given by God, and when you read the Bible, you're reading the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are that which testify of Him. And the Apostle Paul said, I want you to know, brethren, I really care for you and I really love you and I have a great conflict for you, that I want to see you continue steadfastly in the faith. I want you not only to embrace the gospel, they had already embraced it, but now I want you to take that gospel that you've embraced, and as you have received it, I want you to walk in it. I want you to put it on your feet. As your feet, when you go with the armor of God, what is one part of that armor? You're to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that is, you're to put on what you believe and walk it. You know, it's easy to hear it on Sunday night. It's sometimes hard to put it into practice. Even as you leave the building, it's sometimes hard to put it into practice. It really gets hard on Monday morning when you get there and everything seems to be falling apart that ought to be running so smooth. God's still on His throne. Our God is in the heavens. There's not anything that's going to happen tomorrow that He already isn't aware of. He's not going to say, uh-oh, like Brother Stan said, there's no uh-oh moments with God. He didn't come to a place where, I didn't know this was going to happen. You and I are going to bump into a lot of uh-oh moments this week from our perspective, but when we trust in the Lord and we lean upon Him, we can enjoy the storm, we can enjoy the trial, we can enjoy the test, we can enjoy the experience, and we can find, like a tree planted by the water, and the roots run out and they run deep, you can draw from that well and that river of His grace all that you stand in need of, even in the midst of the storm. And He's saying to these brethren at Colossae and to these brethren at Laodicea, I want you to walk in this. And I care about that. The Apostle Paul cared enough about it that he went and preached where they beat him. They beat him and leave him for dead, and the next thing you know, he's up and healed and going back. And he's going back to do what? Tell them the same thing that he told them before. He went as the Lord led him. He went as he was directed. And the ministers today have been called of God to teach and to preach the Word of God to God's little children. Not to preach philosophy. Not to preach a man's wisdom. Not to preach the things of this world. As a matter of fact, we're to warn God's little children not to let those things take you away. the philosophy of this world, the wisdom of this world, the ideas of man, even under the law, going back under the law, in the ceremonial law, all those things that have been brought to an end. Yes, they were good and right in their time, but we're not under the Old Testament law today. We're not under the ceremonial law. And if I try to bring any part of that in and bring it to the house of God and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am saying that Christ is not all that He is. We are complete, are we not? We're complete in Him. We have all that we need in Him. He says, this I say in verse 4, He says, this I say, lest any man that is any false teacher should beguile you. That word beguile, the big word, it just means deceive you. It means lead you in a way that's contrary to the truth of God's Word. And there are men in this world that have enticing words and great wisdom in the eyes of the world, and they would have you to believe that all of this that you've held to and has meant so much to you. See, these brethren were grounded in the truth, but there were those that came among them and said, all of these things, well, they're okay, but let me just add a little bit of this to that. Let me give you a little bit more that'll help you along the way. Jesus isn't really everything that you need. You need a little bit of this or a little bit of that. What I'm saying to you, brethren, let's stick to the Word and the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, because where could I go, like we sang tonight, but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind. I love them, every one. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, a neighbor just can't cut it. That isn't what the song says, but that's, you know, where could I go but to the Lord? And I'll tell you, if we're looking to each other to get what we need tonight, we won't have it. If you're looking to me and you're looking at me as if I'm going to be your answer, I'm telling you what I'll be. I'll be something that won't help you a bit. What we need to do is look where? To the Lord. And what will the Lord give us? He'll give us everything that we need. He can send a doctor into your life to do the surgery just the way it ought to be done. And he doesn't even have to know the Lord. The Lord knows what's going on, and he's able to do that. He's able to send in your life just exactly what you need. And not only able to do it, he's promised that he would do it. And where should we be tonight? The scripture says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart... Is your heart troubled tonight? The Apostle Paul said, your God's little children have troubled hearts, and I want them to be comforted. He said, I want their hearts to be comforted. He says, I want them to be knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. I want them to know God's Word. That's why it's important for us to come to the house of God to hear the Word of God, that we might know the Word of God. You can't put on your feet that which you don't know. You have to wear the gospel. You got to know the gospel. And if you know the gospel, you didn't get that on your own. Let's get to the text. Verse 6. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now notice he's saying they've received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now how did they do that? How did you and I do that? Did we just get smart enough one day that we thought, well, I'll just believe in Jesus. I'll just choose to believe in Him. Is that what the Bible teaches? You know, I could bring in a lot of philosophy and a lot of ideas. I could bring in books that you could read that tell you how it is that you could know and be able to follow Jesus and do this and that and lay out a whole thing. And there's all kinds of ideas about that. But what does the Bible say about it? What does the Bible say in regard to how natural man embraces the things of God? What does it say? It says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Now, men might say, well, the natural man can just of his own free will change his mind, and the one who hated God can start loving God. The one who didn't serve God can just turn and do good and change his ways. The Bible says that is impossible as the leopard to change his spot or the Ethiopian to change the color of his skin, can one who is accustomed to do evil turn and do good? The Bible says how that man does not seek after God, he is not in all his thoughts. The wicked, because of the pride of his countenance, won't do that. So how is it that you and I tonight love the Lord? I believe tonight you love the Lord. I feel like if I ask you, you'd say, "Oh, I love Him, but I wish I could love Him more. I wish I could show Him my love more. I wish I could shout it more and say it more. I wish I'd act better. I wish I'd live better. I wish I'd be a much better person." And you feel so inadequate in yourself. I ask you, why do you feel inadequate? It must be because somebody's messed with your pride. It must be because somebody's torn you down. It must be because somebody's caused you to see what you are. How is it that you see yourself in need of Him? Did you decide that on your own? I say to you, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, we were dead in trespasses and in sins, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We would not have loved God. We would not have cared about God. The way that we receive the Lord is by His grace. In other words, somewhere in my life and somewhere in your life, I don't know when it happened for you, and I'm just thankful and that I have a sweet hope that it did happen to me, that He changed my heart and He changed my mind. And He, as Ezekiel says, He took away a hard and stony heart and gave me a heart of flesh. He circumcised me in my heart, not circumcision of the flesh, but circumcision of the heart. And he that is a Jew indeed is one who's been circumcised in heart. That is, you've been born again of the Spirit of Almighty God. You know how these brethren had received the Lord? They've been born again. They've been made new creatures. He'd worked a work of grace in them. And then He had opened their eyes over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 2. He says this. He says in verse 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." That verse tells us there are some people that love the Lord. We know from 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19 that we love the Lord because He first loved us. So the people that love the Lord didn't just decide one day to love the Lord. If you love the Lord today, it's because He first loved you. The Bible teaches you that. These brethren knew that, they understood that, and the Apostle Paul was concerned that someone might take them and deceive them with the thinking of this world. He went on to say, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." What is that? The things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. God revealed them unto us by His Spirit. So how did you and I receive the Lord? We receive the Lord because the Lord revealed these things unto us by His Spirit. Now, what did the Spirit do? The Spirit born us again and then enlightened our eyes and our ears and our heart that we might know the things of God. He says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." In other words, you have to be born of the Spirit to know the things of God. If you have a love for God, it's because you were born of the Spirit. If you believe in God, it's because you were born of the Spirit. And the birth has to precede faith. The birth has to precede the fruits. And I'll slow down a little and try to breathe here. Just a whole lot I want to get out tonight. He says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak," that is what the gospel is, "not in the words which man's wisdom teaches." That is, the gospel is not what men give you. It's not what men can teach you. It's what the Spirit teaches you, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
In other words, when a man is preaching the gospel, he's preaching the things that have been given to him by the Spirit of God. And if you're able to hear it and see it and believe it and receive it, the Spirit of God has allowed you to have that as well. He goes on, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so he's telling us, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, that is, if you know the Lord, it's because of His grace that you know Him, and as you have received Him, as you have embraced that, He says, now, so walk ye in Him. That means we're to live like we believe in Him. We're to walk like we believe in Him. We're to behave like we believe in Him. That not only is this what we hear on Sunday night, but this is what we're to put on and wear throughout the week and throughout our lives to the honor and the praise and the glory of God. He goes on in verse 7 and he says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I say to you, what a blessing it is tonight to know that there is a God in heaven who loved us enough to die for us, who has secured our home in heaven when we die, and who has given us everything that we need in this world. All things that pertain unto life and godliness are in Him and given to us, and we can come to Him, and that is the only one that we should come to find just what we need. We don't need to go anywhere else for our instruction. We don't really need to know anything else. And if anything starts taking us away from this, we are to resist that and mark it and say, we're not going that way and that route, but we're going to continue steadfastly being rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, whereas ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Verse 8, he says, beware. Because there are men in this world that would spoil you. He says, beware lest any man spoil you. That is, rob you. Now, men can't take your eternal home. They can't take your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They can't do that. But they can rob you of your joy and your rest and your peace by feeding you philosophy and feeding you traditions of men and feeding you feigned deceit as a little lamb of God, and you get caught up in the rudiments of the world, and when we get into those things, we stop following the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember a passage over in the book of Jeremiah that we want to share with you, the Lord being with us. Here in chapter 17 of Jeremiah, verse 5. We'll begin at verse 7. The scripture here says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. What a blessing it is tonight to trust in Jesus, to lean on Him and depend upon Him. And if you're able to do that, how did you receive that? By His grace. You didn't do that on your own. It's by His grace. He says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Verse 8 says, here's a description of that man. For he shall be as a tree planted by the water. This is the one who the scripture says over in Colossians 2. He says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. The brother that walks in Him is described here in Jeremiah 17:7 as blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. That is, he's trusting in Jesus. He's trusting in the Word of God. He's going to live by it. He's going to take it up. It's going to be his rule. It's going to be what he does in his life. It's going to be what he uses to make his decisions. It's going to be that, not just what he says, but what he does. In other words, remember those with the parable of the sower of the seed. And the seed was sown on all types of soil. And in one and the last one it mentions in that parable, it's sown on good ground. And on the good ground, the difference is the one that it was sown on the good ground, the one not only heard it, but the scripture says he received it. And then the scripture also says that he keeps it. He not only receives it, but he keeps it. It's not only being a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. It's not only just hearing about Jesus and saying that's wonderful, but then applying that in the day-to-day walk in your life. And this is what this man is doing. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Now, how is he able to trust in the Lord? The Lord gave him life and the Lord gave him faith. So all the glory is going to belong to the Lord. But blessed is that man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. I ask you tonight, is the Lord the one you're trusting in? And is He your hope? And if that's the case, then you're blessed. I mean, you're not blessed because you did that. You didn't do that on your own. It was by God's grace that you did it. But you're blessed if your trust and your hope is in the Lord. And listen what He says. Here's that person who's trusting and hoping in the Lord. And that's true. That's going to be true tonight, but it's going to be true tomorrow as well. And whatever you do and wherever you go this week, he says, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. Now, he said over here in Colossian letter, you're rooted. That sounds like you're planted by the waters. And here he says, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. And listen to that one. And he says, and shall not see when heat cometh. Now, did it say heat's not going to come? No, it says that heat's coming. But you won't see it. Even though the heat comes, you won't see it. Why? Because you're planted by the waters. Who's the water? That's the grace of God that's in Jesus. It's being planted in Jesus and trusting in Him and understanding the gospel and understanding the mystery of the gospel, that He loved me before the foundation of the world enough to send Jesus to die for me. And if Jesus died for me, He paid my sin debt, and one day I'm going to be with Him in heaven. And He's promised that He foreknew me. He predestinated me to be conformed to the image of His Son. He called me effectually. He justified me when Jesus died on the cross. And one day He's going to glorify me. And then He says, how shall He not also freely give me all things? He who sent His own Son to die for me, will He take care of me when the heat comes? He says, when the heat comes, you'll not see it. And shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green. Not going to wither. In other words, I'm trusting in the Lord. My leaf's going to be green. And shall not be careful. That's full of care in the year of drought. That means when the year of drought comes, you know, if we got a year with no rain, we'd all probably get a little concerned and worried about that. And there's all kinds of droughts that can come in your life. Sometimes we feel like He's maybe clean gone and left us. I want you to know the good news is this. There's a river that flows out of the throne of God, which is the river of His grace. And Jesus Christ is the source of all of those good things. And those blessings are here for God's children. And they're going to be there for us just as sure as this verse is in the Bible. And he says, they shall not be careful in the year of drought. And then he says, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And that's the one who's trusting in the Lord. Now, when we go down to where he says, beware lest any man spoil you, back over in Colossians 2, he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, and after the tradition of men, after the rudiments, that is the elements of the world, and not after Christ. He says, beware of that. He's talking about what he wrote in verses 5 and 6 of Jeremiah 17. Because along with this, he not only talked about blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, he also talks about cursed be the man that trusteth in man. So where should our trust be tonight? It should be in the Lord. Now somebody might say, well, this is not talking about God's children here. That the first one that's talking about cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that's talking about one that's not a little child of God. And the verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. That's talking about a child of God. But let's look at what it says. He says, thus saith the Lord in verse 5. He says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, get this next part, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Now, If his heart departed from the Lord, what does that tell you? That at one time his heart was with the Lord. In other words, he was trusting, but now he's been led astray. Now he's trusting in man. Does that happen to us sometimes in this world where we stop trusting in the Lord and we start trusting in man? Then what happens to us? What's the difference in our experience when that occurs? Notice what he says. The one whose heart departed from the Lord, he says, he shall be like the heath in the desert. Now, if you don't know what a heath is, I've tried to talk about this before, and you might remember when I tried to talk about it. It's like what I would just call you ever seen one of those scrub bushes that kind of, in an old western, if you've ever watched an old western movie and you've seen one of those little, whatever, sagebrush kind of, it's like sagebrush. Except this looks like it's dead, but it's living. In other words, it's alive, but it looks dead. You know, sometimes God's children, they always are alive. He gave them life. But sometimes you and I, just be honest, sometimes we're alive, but we look dead. We're acting like we're dead. We're acting like we don't know who we are. We act like we forgot what the Lord did for us. We act like He didn't really care for us. And we wonder, is He going to take care of me in this? And we depart our heart. Sometimes men come in and cause us to be afraid and scared, and we listen to things that are not the truth, and we get led away from the truth, and we need a dose of the truth to help us to remember to trust in the Lord and to hope in the Lord, so that we'll be like that tree planted by the water. But sometimes we're not like that. We look like that heath. It says a heath in the desert. Now notice the condition of the heath in the desert. It says, and shall not see when good cometh. Notice the difference. The one who's trusting in the Lord can't see when the heat comes. But that little child of God that is all depressed and discouraged and downhearted and wrapped up in the ideas of man and trying to do it on his own, he can't see when good comes. Good comes, but he can't see it. You ever been there? When the Lord brought the good and you can't see it because you're just like that heat. That's why the Apostle Paul was telling those brethren, don't be like that heath in the desert. Be like that. You be rooted. You be rooted, as he said, and built up in Him. You be like that tree that's planted by the water. This is something for God's little children to do. Again, not to become a child of God, but because you are. We want to live like it and act like it and talk like it and behave like it. He says, they shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. That doesn't sound like a good place to be. You know what happened to those that were not abiding in the vine? They withered, didn't they? And men gathered them. The branch, they were cut off, and men gathered them, and they were burned in the fire. That wasn't eternal. That was timely judgment that happens to God's little children. I've seen God's little children wither like that. I've seen them get away from the Lord, and I've seen their lives wither up, and they become like a little heath in the desert. Yes, they're alive, but they look dead, and what they need to be is they need to go to the vine. They need to abide in the vine. They need to go to the Lord and trust in the Lord and lean upon the Lord. And the Lord will bring and restore all of those things. That's the kind of God that we have. He says, beware. That's a warning to God's little children, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. That is, the rudiments are kind of like the ABCs of the world. You know, the world has ABCs kind of they live by. They got their own rules. Yes. They got their own rules they live by. They have their own order that they live by. You know, God's little children, you can't live like the world and act like the world and talk like the world and follow the world's rules. And the world get by with that just fine, but you and I won't get by with it. We'll become like the heat in the desert. We won't look like the tree planted by the water. We'll be His child. We'll belong to Him. But oh, isn't it important? And listen, why is it important? Not just that we will be okay. It's not just about us being okay. It's about bearing fruit. The most important thing you can do as a little child of God is to bear fruit. That is to honor and praise and glorify the God of heaven who's been so good to you by bearing fruit. That means when the time gets tough and the troubles and trials hit us, may the Lord bless us to look like His children, to act like His children, and to bear up under them, even to the point we can't see when the heat comes. Surely we don't want to get in that place where we lose sight of Him to the point we can't see where good comes. Oh, how much better it is to live looking to Him, trusting in Him, and leaning upon Him. He said in verse 9, I'm back over to Colossians 2, and we'll finish with verses 9 and 10. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know what a Savior we've got? Our Savior is the God of heaven. Our Savior is one with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. All every attribute of God the Father is in God the Son, is in God the Holy Spirit. Every characteristic that's in God the Father is in the Son, is in the Holy Spirit. And in the Son is the fullness. I don't get all this, but I sure love to think about it. The one who died for us, in Him is the fullness of the Trinity, the fullness of the Godhead, the fullness of the Godhead in His body. That's our Savior. That's the one who died for us. And to think He did, somebody saying He did all He could do and now it's up to you to finish it, that sure belittles Him, doesn't it? I'm telling you, what He did was a perfect work, and it secured our home in heaven. And He is worthy of our trust in Him. Whatever's coming in your life, wherever you are, wherever I am, may the Lord help us just to turn it over and cast all our cares upon Him and understand that He cares for us enough that He died for us. He's been good to us, hasn't He? Okay. Isn't His loving kindness, as the psalmist said, isn't His loving kindness better than life? It is. It's better than life. He goes on and he says, and ye are complete in Him. That means I got everything I need in Him. Why would I go to the world for answers when I got everything I need in Him? Why would I go anywhere else? He says, which is the head of all principality and power. In other words, he's the head of you. He's my head. He's the head of your home. He's the head of the church. He's the head of all principalities and power. There is no boss to go above Him. You can't go over His head. You know, if you go somewhere and they don't answer your questions right, you go like, can I speak to someone who's in charge? And they say they're in charge. Well, who's in charge of you? Somebody might say, I'm the top one and I'm in charge. That's not so. The one that can honestly say that and truthfully say that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And that's the one you're trusting in. So why should I be afraid? Why should I be discouraged? I appreciate your kind attention tonight. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. 363.